So this week's parsha is Balak, and I thought what I would do today is look a little bit into the personality of Bilam, not so much how he's presented in this week's parsha, but rather is there any background that we know about Bilam that perhaps will allow us to better understand who he was and what he did, what he represented. And the powers that he had, the ability that he had, where it came from. So the way he's introduced to us in this week's parsha is that there's someone who has a problem. There's Balak, this king of Moab, who sees the Jewish people. They're near his territory, and he gets nervous. He's concerned that perhaps the Jewish people are going to attack. Or maybe just out of hatred, animosity, even though maybe he knows that the Jewish people are not going to harm him. After all, we know that the Jewish people will not harm Moab because Moab is mishpacha, right? Moab is from the family of Lot. So the Jewish people went around Moab, they went around Ammon. But nonetheless, this Balak, the king of Moab, they get nervous and they go to their neighbors, to the Zikne Midyan, that they're afraid that the Jewish people are going to destroy the entire area. And so what do they do? What's their way to defend themselves? So interestingly, it's not with might and power. Perhaps they saw the failures of what already had occurred that's presented in last week's Parsha, how the Canaanim try to fight the Jewish people and they're defeated, how Sihon and Og, how they're defeated. So what they do instead is Vayishlach Malachim el Balaam ben Beor. So they send messengers to Bilam, the son of Beor, Pisora to Pitosora. Asher al-Nar, where is this Pisora? It's by the river. Eretz b'nei Amo, of the land of the members of his people, Likralot to call to him. And they tell him there's this people that's come out of Egypt, and they're covering up the entire land. They're all over the place. And Vatalachan, please curse that for me. So, and again, they assume that they'll be, perhaps they'll be successful, they'll be safe, they'll be protected if this Bilam will curse the Jewish people. So again, so you have to look at how he's presented. As he's this Bilam, his father is Beor, and he's from Pisora, which is near the river. So Rashi says the following: Pisora, kishulchani hazeh, that Bilam was like a money changer. Shakom aritzelo mos, everyone would give him money. Kach kol hamalachim aritzelo igroseim. All the kings would go to him, ask him for help, for assistance. They'd write him letters. So that's the Pisora. Pisora is this person who was always receiving letters, getting money, and people would hire him to for their for whatever the needs that they had. And then Rashi says the following: the simple explanation is just Pisora is just the location of where he was from. But this additional level of interpretation is that he was like this a money changer. Again, people constantly are coming to him, and yeah, and that's how Rashi introduces us to this to this person Bilam. Then Rashi tells us the following. So we're gonna find out that Bilam is this some sort of person who was a prophet. After all, he communicates with God. He talks to Hashem. Hashem talks to him. Hashem appears to him in dreams that we'll find out during the parsha. So Rashi quotes Chazal or rabbis who say the following: Hakadosh Baruch Hu al goy rasha. Why did God place His divine presence on this wicked person? Wasn't even Jewish. How could God give such power and give such a talent to such an individual? Even amongst the Jewish people, it's so limited who actually has prophecy. And yet, here's this person who we're going to see time and again is trying to cause the Jewish people harm. And God finds favor with him, he gives him prophecy. So says And by the way, something fascinating. This is really more discussion for another time. When you go through the Parsha, on the one hand, he's this big Rasha, Bilam. On the other hand, he always tells Balak over and over again that he can only do whatever God tells him to do. He warns Balak, I can't curse the Jewish people if God's not going to allow me to do it. So he doesn't come off looking all that bad, but there are hints throughout the Parsha that seem to highlight the fact that that there was something a little bit more sinister behind him. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that we have a tradition that he was a wicked person, and therefore, wherever we can interpret one of his actions for that was sinister, we should do it because we have this tradition that he really was this wicked person. But Rashi is going on that premise that he was this Rasha, and therefore, so how could God give him prophecy? So answers Rashi, and Rashi is quoting the Gemara. So he says, Lomar, I'm sorry, Kadesh shelo ye pislon umos. God didn't want the nations to have an excuse, Lomar, by saying, Elo hayulana had we had prophets, had we had our prophets, we would have repented. We would have been good people had we had our prophets. In other words, God, how can you punish us? How can you say all these bad things about us? You look through the Nevi'im, different prophecies, they're always criticizing and condemning the nations of the world. The nations can respond, hey, we had strong leaders, and we had prophets like the Jewish people had prophets, we would be wonderful. We would be as beautiful, wonderful as the Jewish people. So what did God do? And meet Lahem Nevi'im. So God said, okay, I'll give you prophets. And yet, what happened? Behem Partsu, yet they made breaches. Gidar Olam, Shibatchila, Him Gedurim Ba'arayos, V'zeh Nasal Eitzel, Lafkim Atzel Liznos. So what happened? That they did have prophets, but what did they use the prophets for? For harm, and for immorality, and all types of terrible things. So the God tried to help out the nations of the world by giving them prophets, but the nations succumbed, the prophets succumbed, and they were they still didn't turn around. So that's a little bit about how rabbis understand who Bilam was. That he was, he was someone who was given prophecy in order to answer to the claim that God wasn't being fair to the nations of the world. We do have a little bit more information about Bilam. It all comes from different traditions, different midrashim, and different gemaras. So one gemara tells us that Bilam had some physical defects, deformities. It's written. Sorry. It says here, Kara Shachav, that he crouched and lay down. And it says elsewhere, there's another pasuk that says Bein Raglea Kara Nafal Shachav. You have a pasuk in regarding Yael and Sefer Shoftim, also similar expression of lying down. So the Gemara learns out from there. That Bilam had some sort of limp in his leg. That's one thing the Gemara says. And then another good thing the Gemara says is that he was a Suma b'echa be'enav. In one of his eyes, he was blind. Again, based upon how they read a certain pasuk. So I'm going to come back to this in a moment. But again, this tradition that that he had some physical challenges in terms of walking, in terms of being blind, at least in one eye. Furthermore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, again, this is all in Dafa, Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, and Kuf Vav, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following, that Bilam, or the Gemara says, Vayar Esakini Vaisa Mishalo. The pasuk says that Bilam, when he was one of the curses that or attempted curses that he gave the Jewish people, he looked up and he saw the Cainite. And he then said his parable. So what does that mean? Amarlo Bilam Yisro. Bilam said to Yisro, who else was a Cainite? Yisro, and Moshe's father-in-law was a Cainite. He says, Kini, you Cainite, you Yisro, lo ha-yisa imonu bo-sa-itza. Were you not with us back in the day, back in the good old days when we gave counsel, we gave advice? Who did they give advice to? They gave advice to Paro. Mahu shivcha itzo olam. Who placed you among the mighty people of the world? Who gave you the What, in other words, what Bilam was saying, what happened to you, Yisro? Yisro had joined the Jewish people, and Bilam's like, what happened to you, Yisro? So what does that mean? So the Gemara explains, Hainu damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar Rabbi Simai, there were three advisors, close advisors of Paro. What advice are we talking about? The advice to throw the baby boys into the Nile. Who are the three advisors? Elohein, Bilam, Eov, Job, VeYisro. What did each one advise? So here's the tradition. Bilam Yad Shenerag. Bilam, right from the start, he was no good. His advice was that the Jewish people should be killed. Kill the babies. Eov Shasak. What was Eov's advice? He was quiet. He remained silent. He wasn't willing to say one thing or the other. And there's lots of talk about regarding Eov, which, with all that we know about Eov, what happened to him is this sort of our rabbis alluding to the fact that when you're quiet, so sometimes we say shtika kota, when you're quiet, you don't stand up, you don't protest, you don't voice your opposition. So it's basically when you're silent, you're basically tantamount to giving agreement to what's happening. So you have to give voice, you have to protest. Eov didn't do that. So what happened to, says the Gemara, as a result? So what happened to Bilam, because he gave this terrible advice, so ultimately with Bilam, what we learn later on in the Torah, now he was killed. He was killed in the war against Midian. So he died. Eov Yisurim, he faced, God punished him with terrible affliction, again, because he didn't protest, he didn't say anything. And Yisro, what did Yisro do? Yisro Shabarach, Yisro fled, he ran away, he fled Egypt. Zachu b'nei bana v'yosha b'lishkas gaza. So because Yisro wanted nothing to do with Pharaoh and this terrible decree, so he was rewarded, he converted, his family converted, and ultimately we have a tradition that his family became great Torah scholars. But again, focusing just on Bilam for now, that we have this tradition that, we're introduced to Bilam at the end of the 40-year journey in the desert. We know of Bilam already from 40 years earlier. Already 40 years earlier, he was in the thick of things in Egypt. He was a close advisor of Paro, and he's the guilty one. He's the one who gave the terrible advice that Paro listened to, that the Jewish people should be, the baby boys should be thrown into the Nile. So, from beginning to end in his life, nothing are redeeming from him. This is a terrible person, always out to harm us and to cause us much pain and suffering. So that's all the Gemara in the Maseches Sanhedrin. There is a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis that just tells us that a little bit about his resume, that that he was one, he wasn't the only prophet that the nations of the world had. The Gemara says, Shiva Nevi'im, this Nisnavu Umos Olam. There actually were seven prophets that God had gifted to the nations of the world. And the first one on the list is Bilam. And then interestingly, he's Bilam ben Beor, his father as well. Now, who was his father? So we'll come back to that in a moment. But apparently it was a family business. Eov, Eliphaz, it continues. But he's one of the prophets who God gave as a gift to the nations of the world. There's also in Gemara in Maseches Zvachim and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says something else that Bilam did. And that is, after the Jewish people ultimately were successful in being able to leave Egypt, God taking them out, 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea. So, of course, after the sea split and then the Jews were rescued and the Egyptians drowned, so the Torah tells us the Jews sang Shira. Right? The Jewish people sang the Aziyah Shira and giving their offering of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, says the Gemara the following: Niskapsu kulam etzel Bilam harasha. All the nations of the world, as the Jewish people are singing Aziyah Shira, they came to Bilam. Again, this is 40 years before the story that takes place in our parsha. Amar lo, they said to him, Makol hamon asher shamanu. What is this great tumult that we have heard? Right? Everyone, it says in Aziyah Shira, Shamu amin yigazu. All the nations of the world heard about The splitting of the sea. There's even one school of thought, one medrash that says like all the bodies of water in the world split. Like what happened here? What's going on? They didn't understand this. They went to Bilam, who was this, the prophet. Shemamabalam. Is there a tsunami? Is there some sort of flood that's about to flood the entire world? What's happening? So Amar Lahem. So where did Bilam respond? Vayeshev Hashem Melech Le'olam. Hashem is the king who sits enthroned forever. The pasuk in Tehillim. For Anishba Kadosh Baruch Hu she'eno maybe ma'abulam. No, don't worry, says Bilam. God's not going to bring any more floods. He's already promised that there won't be any more floods. Rather, what is ma kol hamona zeh shamanu? Like, what is this noise that's being heard? So Amar Lahem, he sent to them. That God had this wonderful object in his treasure house hidden away from the time of creation, and he wanted to give it to his children. And basically, what is he about to give to the Jewish people? He's about to give them the Torah, right? And that's he does split the sea to rescue the Jews and to bring them the Torah, and that's the noise that you're hearing. So Bilam was privy to that. But Bilam was this prophet who was tapped into God, into God's plans. God had communicated with him. And so you see from here that he had this special power, Bilam. Right? And this is what I want to get to and end off with this point. So one or two more sources. Bilam had this great potential. Bilam could have, not only for himself, but for the nations of the world, he could have led them to do great things. He could have enabled them and demonstrate to them who God is, what monotheism is, basic values of morality. He could have led and demonstrated to the nations of the world. He had that potential. He had that gift. He had this connection to God that almost no one else had. In fact, the Gemara says some suggest even either equal or almost as equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. To such an extent was his level of prophecy and communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash Rabbah says, the following. So the Medrash Rabbah in this week's parsha, and it's similar to, again, this is the Medrash that Rashi quoted at the beginning. Lo yiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo v'yichav in pischon peh. Right, God didn't want the nations of the world to accuse him. That God accused God of not being fair. So what did God do? So God also made great leaders for the nations of the world, including prophets, including our prophet. And the greatest of the prophets was Bilam. So, but what's the difference though between Bilam and the prophets that we had? It says the Medrash Rabbah. Second, Ma bein Nevi'i Yisrael Nevi'i Ovdei Chochavim. What's between the prophets for the Jews and the prophets for the non-Jews, for the idolaters? Nevi'i Yisrael Masir Mes Yisrael Min Averos. Jewish prophets understood their mission. They understood their mission was to keep the Jewish people on track. When the Jewish people would stray, when the Jewish people would make mistakes, they would get the Jewish people focused once again, and to say what had to be said, even if it was uncomfortable, even if it wasn't popular. That's the role of a Navi, to communicate God's word, whether the people want to hear it or not. That's what God told Yechezkel. That's your responsibility. However, when Navi shemim min agoyim, shemim pirtzal, obvious sabrios min olam. But the prophets that were given to the nations of the world, the prophets themselves didn't do their job, and instead, what do? They just led the nations further astray, further away from. They had the potential, but they did just the opposite, right? They made a pirtza, they made breaches to cause the people to be lost from the world, and that's the tragedy of Bilam. And in fact, the Medrash, it concludes, it says, Salak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately God said, okay, that's it. After Bilam, God said, no more. Why? Because Shazel Amad Mehem V'Ram Ma'asa, God provided this gift to them, and they said, look what happened. It was a total failure. It completely did not work out. So the question is, what was God thinking originally? With this, I'll conclude. What was God thinking originally? So here's a fascinating, this appears in the Gemara. It also appears in the couple of Midrashim, including the Yalkut Shimoni, which I'll read right now. The Yalkut Shimoni says the following. Again, regarding who is this Bilam? Who was he? So again, so we've seen so far, you know, we have these traditions. At least he goes back 40 years as he's this advisor to Paro in Egypt. After the sea splits, the nations of the world come to him for guidance, start direction. So says the Medrash. Vayishlach Malachim el Bil'am, and he's Ben Beor. Sheba al Beor, Tanahu Beor, hu Kushan Rishatayim, hu Lavan Harami. So we're told in the Parsha, again, he's from Pisora Asher al Hanar. From Pisora, that is by the river. What river are we talking about? So often the river in the Torah is not necessarily the Nile, but often it's the Nar Paras, it's the Euphrates. So he's somewhere from Mesopotamia. Now, is he originally from Midian? Is that his hometown? Not necessarily. Perhaps he just moved there. But where was he from originally? He's from a different area. And suggests this map just like fascinating. Perhaps where he's from is actually from Aram. Aram Naharaim. He's from this area of the upper area of the Euphrates, perhaps in modern day southern Turkey, maybe eastern Syria, somewhere Iraq, northern Iraq, somewhere from that area. And in fact, he perhaps, the Medrash goes as far as to say, is, if not biologically the same person, then at least genetically, or perhaps a descendant of Kushan Rishathaim. Who's Kushan Rishathaim? He's one of the first kings who afflicted the Jewish people in Israel after the death of Yehoshua. He's from Aram, and that's when the first Shofet, Othniel ben Kenaz, has to rescue and save the Jewish people. And here, fascinating, who Lavan Harami. He is Lavan, Lavan the Aramean. Who is Bilam? Bilam is Lavan. Does this mean he's exactly the same person? That's many hundred, several hundred years later. Or is he a descendant of Lavan? Or someone who at least mimics Lavan? And what's the connection to Lavan? So Lavan was someone also with great potential. Right? Lavan was, Lavan was the father of Rachel and Leah. He's the brother of Rivka. Right? He had great yichus. He's from the family of Avram Avinu, and Yaakov came to him, and he could have been a wonderful father-in-law to Yaakov. He could have guided him, he could have protected him, could have watched over him, he could have mentored him. He could have been. Right? He had that ability. And yet what happened? So again, you have to do a whole study of Lavan, but was it had to do with jealousy? Did it have to do with the fact that the Lavan himself rejected Avram's values and turned away from it? Lavan went the total opposite direction, right? We say at the Seder that on some level, Lavan was even worse than Paro, right? Paro was only Bikish al-Zacharim. Paro only wanted to destroy the males. And Lavan, Bikish al-Akoros, like, oh, Lavan wanted to destroy everything. So how was Lavan worse than Paro? So I once suggested this, that, you know, Paro physically was trying to harm the Jewish people, right? Killing the Jewish boys. But Lavan was a spiritual danger because ultimately Lavan was trying to prevent Yaakov from returning to the land of Israel, from rendezvousing with God and with the future destiny of the Jewish people. It wasn't this physical threat that he posed, but it was rather the spiritual destruction of the entire Jewish people, of the entire notion of one God of monotheism and spreading that message to the world at large. Right. Lavan did all that he could to try to prevent Yaakov from returning on his ultimate mission. And that's exactly what Bilam did. Right. Bilam was not They didn't go to Bilam to lead them in battle. They went to Balak went to Bilam in order to spiritually harm the Jewish people, right? Following in Lavan's footsteps to cause that that spiritual threat to the Jewish people, knowing and recognizing that we as a Jewish people, that's always the biggest danger that confronts us. Tragically, from time to time, we've always faced physical dangers, but we're always still here. Right? There's always a remnant. We're never going to be destroyed. The Torah says, but it's always a spiritual danger, which is our greatest threat. That poses that can cause the end for us. That causes ultimate gullus, ultimate exile. And that's why Bilam is such, we view him as such a Rasha, such a wicked person, because he had such the potential. He had the potential of Laban to do just the opposite, to use his powers, the gifts that God had given him, to actually lead them. In some levels, you can even argue he could have been even more successful than the Jewish people in Moshe, because he was the prophet for all the nations, and he could have shown them the proper path. He could have shown them, you know, the right way of what believing God is all about and what morality and ethics are all about. He had that such potential. He could have helped the nations to allow the Jews to enter into Israel, to say that this is not a threat, this is a gift, this is a blessing for us. But like similar to Lavan, instead of facilitating Yaakov's growth in Yaakov's journey, he tried to end it and to destroy it. And that's why we have such a negative reaction to Bilam. And I think, you know, one of the takeaways of this, you know, for all of us is thinking about ourselves, you know, the gifts that God gives us. And what do we do with those gifts? We all have passions. We all have talents. We all have things that we're able to do. And God is, you know, asking us, are you going to be a Moshe? Or you could, God forbid, be a Bilam. But you can go in either direction. You can use your talents and gifts to repair the world. You can use it to destroy the world. And so Bilam is always a warning to us. So you know, you can have people that are very talented and people are much gifts and charisma, and they can use that for the good. Or unfortunately, like Bilam, they can use it to uproot everything. And the Bilams are always dangerous because they look kosher from the outside. Right, they look, you know, he's a prophet, and he always says, I have to listen to God, and you know, he seems holy, he seems like a holy person, but you got, when you start peeling beyond the surface, all of a sudden all these other things that come out, and that's what I think is the message we saw, just to end off with this, with the Gemara saying that he was blind in one eye, that he didn't see the full picture of Bilam. He was unwilling to see. He only saw a little bit, but if he could have opened up both eyes, he could have recognized the potential that he had and what he could have done to transform the world. And he's forever, again, this message for all of us to recognize within each and every one of us that we can always go either way. And we should be very careful in not to succumb to the temptations that Bilam succumbed to, whether it was gold and wealth and pride and whatever it was, and anger and jealousy. And instead, stay far away from those things. Instead, to stay focused, stay on course, although there are going to be challenges along the way, to recognize that ultimately we're working for Hashem to further God's mission on this world. And with the talents that we have, we can be extremely successful to fulfill our tafka, to fulfill our role in this world. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.